From Midtown Studios at Allied Headquarters, this is the Allied Angle, where we take an in-depth look at current market trends with industry experts. I'm your host, Amber Guthrie with Allied Solutions. Coming up, what does it take to recruit, engage, and keep your top salespeople? Find out next on the Allied Angle. Welcome to the Allied Angle, your auditory complement to Allied Solutions e-newsletter, Allied Insights. Today, I'm joined by Allied's National Vice President, Client Performance, Julianne Wessinger. Julianne, thank you so much for taking the time with us today. We are delighted to have you.
Thank you, Amber. Happy to be here.
Julianne leads the Client Performance Consulting team at Allied Solutions and has spent the past three decades helping organizations enhance their internal sales and service cultures in ways that significantly impact key internal and external metrics, such as increased employee engagement and productivity and reduced turnover. Julianne is the proud graduate of Eckerd College in St. Petersburg, Florida, and currently resides in Tampa. In her free time, you can find her cheering on Tampa Bay's NHL team, the Lightning, or traveling with her husband and twin daughters. So, Julianne, before we dive into this, we like to do something to kick off each podcast with a little get-to-know-the-guest segment that we call Accelerated Q&A.
Okay.
I didn't warn you about this. We like to surprise people, but are you ready?
All right.
So tell us, what was your dream job as a child?
To be a lawyer.
Ooh, nice. What was your first job?
Babysitting.
What was your first car?
a very old Chevy Camaro.
It would be nice, though. Describe yourself in three words.
Ooh, okay. This is harder than I thought. loyal, fun, and fierce.
Ooh, I like it. It's a good mixture. What are the top three items on your bucket list?
These are hard questions. top three bucket list. I want to see and take my family to see the Northern Lights, ideally in Finland, but maybe Alaska.
Ooh, nice, yeah.
I'll also want to take my daughters to Bora Bora, which is my favorite place on Earth. And third bucket list, I guess just to get my children through college successfully and happily.
Every parent's dream. So I feel like then I shouldn't ask you your favorite place to visit. Bora Bora.
Yes, that would be number one.
And last one, what is the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Maybe not the best, but the first one that comes to mind is my grandmother used to always say, eat dessert first, life is short.
Oh, I'm with grandma. So, Julianne, to kick us off here, the employment landscape since COVID has been unlike anything that we've ever seen, from C-suite burnout to staffing challenges at all levels from this great resignation that many companies are still trying to recover from. With this ongoing war for talent that we're seeing, what role has learning and development played since COVID, and why the increasing demand for it?
Yeah, really interesting and surprising to those of us in that business. The last 3 years have seen record growth in terms of organizations spending dollars on performance development. And we see it most directly in response to the specific areas of, number one, the need for training and mentoring tools. You know, people entering the workplace, people changing jobs now, are expecting that there's going to be a clear career path for their growth as part of their employment. Also, COVID and remote work really shed the spotlight on the lack of sufficient management training and development and coaching skills. So if you weren't a strong manager prior to COVID, now trying to coach people remote was really kind of a train wreck for a lot of organizations. And the other thing that they identified as part of kind of the coaching challenge, managers are promoted many times with little or no formal training. Mm-hmm. They get promoted and you ask an organization, when's the last time that you did a formal training for your coaches? And they can't remember, or never is the answer. And then the other thing is sales managers many times are promoted because they were great at sales. Yep. And I think we all know, or if we didn't know, we're discovering that a great salesperson does not necessarily mean a great manager. And then the last thing that is newer is basic communication skills. People, employees that are entering the workplace for the first time, the COVID era really reinforced that the isolation, the electronic communication versus live communication is causing a challenge. Mm-hmm. In hiring people who have basic, natural communication and service skills.
So kind of piggybacking off of the COVID affecting managers and the coaching aspect of it, did you see that time really weed out a lot of managers?
Yes.
Separating and weeding people out?
Yes. I think that was part of the turnover, right? People who had so much stress trying to do something they weren't equipped for decided to, you know, do different things. And so that only made, you know, the turnover worse from the perspective of not only the frontline staff and employees were turning over, but their managers and people to hire them were leaving as well.
So are you seeing that companies are approaching us or somebody else to get this coaching, or do they need to be convinced of saying, look, your team hasn't been coached properly, look what you can do if they are coached properly? I mean, is this something that they are already seeing or needs to be brought to their attention?
Great question. And that is probably the biggest difference that I see pre and post COVID. Mm-hmm. They completely acknowledge now that there's a lack, they're bleeding, the gap is there. And many times they've already even budgeted dollars. They just don't know who or where they're going to find the support from.
When it comes to the financial industry, there's a big push to stay aware and current with new technologies and strategies to not only keep up with the competition, but also attract and retain talent. But the deeper that we seem to be going down this technology well, the more we're finding out that digital transformation isn't everything. It's not going to ensure success for both sides. Can you talk a bit about why cultural transformation is so vital and what challenges or gaps are you seeing organizations face in terms of culture?
Absolutely. The new technologies are so exciting and certainly on everybody's radar relative to investing for 2024 and beyond. And yet clients really need to set the stage for these tools to be successful through their people. So some of the most common needs we often hear relate to the ability to deliver consistent service experience across all consumer touch points. And what we mean by that is not only providing that grade A service live, but through remote, through phone, and even digital. How are you reflecting? How are you confirming your value promise and your service standards in those various areas? Also, employees need to embrace a growth mindset. That's one of the things I don't really recall hearing pre-COVID. Mm-hmm. What they need and what they mean by that is helping employees be ready to really accept the technologies and the change that's on the horizon, being able to flex more. And I think going back to what we talked about a minute ago with pre versus post-COVID, people aren't as flexible post-COVID. And then the last thing is lack of confidence and competence for those managers and leaders, again, that we talked about a minute ago. But specifically when we talk about developing those leaders, it's helping them understand how to communicate with the diverse generations, the diverse styles, all the remote, live, you know, how do I manage these communication and these conversations across the various ways that we're working with our employees today as well. And the reason that that is so important and the reason that they're focused laser sharp on that is increased coaching communication skills directly impact employee productivity and sales. In fact, studies out there show by about 27% or more.
Wow.
Increase employee satisfaction engagement, which is on everybody's radar, and then reducing turnover. And again, another study that I recently read was that that can be up to about 25% difference relative to employees staying with the organization and employees leaving. And I'm sure you, like me, and everyone has heard the adage, right? People leave managers. People don't leave companies. And that's exactly what, mm-hmm. you know, has been happening.
Well, I think that just proves the need for constant training also. Going from work from home to hybrid to back in the office. You've got Gen Z coming up into it. Everybody's working in different ways. Kind of staying with one way of being trained isn't going to take you 10 or 15 years down the road. So that just proves the constant need for development and coaching and leading.
Exactly.
So Julianne, one of the stats that we're seeing from the Integrity Coaching Program is an 88% ROI with training with coaching. Can you explain that just a little bit more for us?
Sure. Basically what that means is many times employees will go to some sort of training session, any kind of training that we're talking about. And after the training session, they go back to their office, their branch, their department. And if that training is not reinforced with some sort of coaching, basically, many times it kind of falls flat in a very short period of time. if it is reinforced by their coach, their manager, their supervisor, the return on investment that the company made in that training itself actually is returned four times, or quadrupled the ROI, as we call it.
Stay in the know of all of the current market trends by subscribing to the Allied Insights e-newsletter. Sign up at alliedsolutions.net/subscribe, or you can find the link in this show's notes. Now, back to our conversation. So kind of still talking about technology a little bit, with these tech advances and the rise of AI that we've been seeing, how has and how is technology changing the selling process for companies?
Yeah, information about prospects, customers, and their organization, as we all know, is readily available on the internet, various social media platforms. So you shouldn't have to spend time asking the client for information when you get there. How many branches do you have, or what? That's old school. That's gone. As a result of the available information, clients expect you to come to the sale or call informed and prepared to really engage in efficient conversation that's going to address their challenges in the industry today. Not general challenges, but specific things they're facing, and offer solutions and perspectives that are going to add value. So the expectation is much, much higher. The time that you get in front of people is shorter. And there's also an expectation that you have the capability and the willingness to meet and present how they want to meet as well, mm-hmm. whether that's Zoom, Teams, live, whatever it is, that again is an expectation. So it's not really up to what you're comfortable with as a salesperson. It's what the organization you're going to meet with is comfortable with and desires.
Meet them where they are.
Exactly.
Consumers today are more well-informed, distracted even, and a lot of time a little bit confident about what they think they need and don't need, thanks to digital interactions and the mountain of data out there that's available. When it comes to the salesperson, what kind of training and development are crucial for handling this new type of consumer? And are you seeing a decline in the request for these types of trainings?
Yeah, from a digital perspective, robots are very effective, as we all know, at handling transactional level sales. Amazon, Walmart, you know, we all take great advantage of that. But when the decisions become more complex and more expensive, humans are really looking for someone that they can trust to provide insights and help them kind of wade through all the data that is available to them today. Therefore, I'd say that the ability to build genuine trust is more important for salespeople than ever. From there, of course, they need to be skilled to offer them the new possibilities that will create value for the customers. To answer your question, is the demand for sales training that teaches how to build genuine trust and cover needs declining? I'd say absolutely not. The key is to purchase a program that has proven results in that area of expertise and not a gimmick or a one and done.
So, Julianne, keeping with kind of the sales theme here, anyone that is and has been in sales can tell you that it's definitely not easy, especially when you have pressures and stressors coming at you from what seems like every direction. It's easy to get caught up in the old salesperson cycle of yesteryear. FIs have increased pressures of their own when it comes to expanding market share and overall growth that the old-fashioned ways just are no longer cutting it. Can you share what business leaders are looking for in today's landscape, and how does the salesperson of today provide value there?
Yeah, the days of product pushers, or even consultative selling, as we call it, or giving lip service to consultative selling, I should say, those are long gone. Buyer needs and expectations are more complex. Time is tight, so they're looking for relationships that provide cutting-edge information and guidance from a partner. They expect answers to questions like, what are best practices? How can we maximize this? What's on the horizon? The best salespeople show up today armed with solutions to answer these questions. And by solutions, I don't necessarily mean product. Solutions might be a product, but they could be other recommendations as well. Relationship selling is also limited in its effectiveness. And what I mean by that term is expecting, because you've forged a relationship on the golf course or at dinner or your kids know each other, with expectations that those interactions alone are going to help you retain or win the business, are no longer valid. And then also, successful salespeople today, they need to be proactive and armed with specific, relevant, and timely ways to add value to the relationship.
So do you see potentially kind of with this change of mindset that the old-fashioned, older generation of salespeople will start to retire earlier because they don't want to change their mindset of how to sell? Or do you see them kind of adapting to the new ways so they are doing better as far as their relationship building and their sales go?
Yeah, that's a really, really good question. I think it goes back to what we were talking about earlier about flexibility, right? And what kind of growth mindset you have. That doesn't necessarily match age. Mm-hmm. You can be older, right, and embrace some of the new things. Even as simple as the technology we were talking about, some people would rather retire than try to use this Zoom thing, right?
Right.
But in addition to that, one of the things I do think is important about the quote-unquote old salesman, right, or salespeople, is that they do quite often have some of those basic skills we were talking about earlier. Building trust, you know, some of those core people skills still haven't gone out of style.
Julianne, you have been a wonderful guest today, but before I let you go, do you have three pieces of advice that you would give a coach leading today's salesperson?
Ooh, great question. If you don't mind, I'd love to give you five.
Oh, okay. No, that's, I'm sure everybody will love that.
And the reason is, as part of the integrity coaching program that is utilized by Integrity Solutions, our development partner, we follow the five steps, which are ALCPC. So A is, from a coaching perspective, making sure that you ask questions, mm-hmm. right? Engage the employee so that they're part of the collaboration, they're part of the session. Second is L, which is listen. We ask you, and it's quite a deviation for a lot of people, we ask you to do 80% of the listening during a coaching conversation and 20% of the talking. And that delivers that message, right? That this is about them, this is not about you. And then C is for coach. And in our world, the coach step means be a keeper of the resources. Make sure that the recommendations that the employee makes are in line with budget and resources and time. But don't throw out their ideas and then tell them how it should be done, but rather just help refine it through that step. And then we always end every one-on-one coaching communication with praise and challenge. Praise is learning how to give genuine, specific praise. And what that means is there's a big difference between me saying to you, great job today, Amber, giving you that pat on the back, right, attaboy, and saying, Amber, great job. We so appreciate that you always end these podcasts on time and come prepared, right? Because that lets you know, what do I need to do in the future to continue to get that attaboy, great job. And then finally, challenge. And challenge is, what are you going to accomplish between now and the next time we meet? What is the expectation? And the other thing related to that last one, challenge, is also when you think about top performers. Top performers need different types of challenges than maybe some of the most obvious challenges we think of when we're in a coaching session. So ALCPC, those would be my five takeaways from a coaching perspective.
Excellent advice. Julianne, thank you so much again for joining us and taking the time, and I hope that you will join us again sometime.
Thank you.
Tune in next month when Allied's Vice President National Markets Group, Peter Kroll, joins me here in the studio to keep us up to date in the world of product refund liability.